Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been blessed to sing these songs this morning, just to think about our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, that it was maybe the that song Day by Day, the last verse in that song kind of really made me think about how there are promises that we're allowed to, like when we go through, what is it, tribulations, like there are promises that we can believe, we're allowed to believe them. And it gives us a hope, and there's comfort. And then that last song made me think about Sister Sarah, your wife, who's passed on before, partly because I'd already been thinking about her this morning, and because for some reason last night I thought about her, and that, I don't know, I think it's also kind of a, I think about people who have finished their race here, like makes me think, I want to finish mine, and I want to be faithful. Just bought this new Bible story book yesterday, so I'm gonna read a story out of it, and hopefully it's just written in a way that the children can appreciate. And then there's a few questions at the end, so I might ask for if anyone can answer those questions. The title is One Thankful Leper. And if you're not familiar with what a leper is, a leper was a man who had a disease. It was a disease of the skin, and it was something that was contagious. And if someone had leprosy, they had to stay away from other people. They had to be isolated. They had to be quarantined, you might say. All right. 10 men watched Jesus come to their town. These 10 men wanted to meet Jesus, but instead of coming close to Jesus, they stood far away from him. They shouted, "Jesus, Master, help us!" Why were these men afraid to come close to Jesus? The 10 men were lepers. They had a disease called leprosy that made them very sick. Other people did not want to get leprosy, so that they made the sick men stay away from them. Lepers had to leave their homes and live by themselves. If someone with leprosy got better, he was supposed to ask the priest to look at him. The priest could say whether or not the person was better. If the priest said he was better, a leper could go home and live with his family again. Jesus felt sorry for the 10 lepers, and he wanted to help them. He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." The 10 men started off to see the priest. As they went, their leprosy went away. The men could feel they were not sick anymore. Jesus had healed them. Suddenly, one of the men, a Samaritan, knew what he should do. He stopped. He turned and went back to Jesus. He knelt in front of Jesus and thanked Jesus for healing him. Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10 lepers? Where are the other nine? Did no one else remember to praise God? Jesus blessed the man for his faith. Go your way, your faith has made you well, he said. First question, why did the 10 men stay away from Jesus? Does anybody want to volunteer? They didn't want to give him leprosy. They were probably, Jesus wouldn't have treated them this way, but they were probably used to, like, people would have gotten very upset if they would have gotten near them. Like, and I don't think Jesus would have treated them that way, but they were, like, they knew that they were unclean. All right. What happened when the lepers left to see the priest? And I think this is a very this is a good. I like this part of this little detail in the story. No, yeah, they got healed. No, they first, yeah. What happened? Yeah, but anyway, yeah. Thanks for that. And it's just for you, young people. It's okay if you say something and it's not the right answer. Okay. you just heard Dwayne do that, right? Okay. So, and then just the first challenge, this is just kind of a challenge to us all. Do you remember to say thank you? Like, do you remember to say thank you when, because thankfulness is, I don't know what you'd call it, I guess it's a virtue, but like, it does something to us if we're thankful. All right. Maybe I'll just say it. I'm going to read Luke 17, and it has this account in it as well. But that second question, what happened when the lepers left to see the priest? Like, Jesus kind of tested their faith there. He didn't just heal them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And after they started going to show themselves to the priest, they became healed. So I think if they'd have been like, no, it's not time to go see the priest, I still have leprosy, you know. But when in faith, they just started out, they just went. Jesus healed them. Anyway, I'm just going to read Luke chapter 17 yet. Then he said to the disciples, this might be kind of cutting in the middle here a little bit, but I guess I'll do it anyway. It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I think that if we're like, at least for me, like, that's the same. I would have to respond in the same way to that admonition there, to that, what Jesus said. He said, If your brother sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And they just said, increase our faith. Like, I think they were just recognizing that I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I can have that kind of faith. But I don't think that's, in the comments you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that that's not something that should be taken literally, but that shouldn't be taken literally, I should say. That literally, if our brother sins against us seven times in one day, we should forgive him if he turns and repents. I don't know any other way to understand that, I should say. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots. Maybe I should just also say that about that is that I don't know that anybody's ever experienced that, and it's not something that would be likely to happen. But the point is, like, there should be no limit to how often we forgive our brother. Sorry. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat, but will not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now it happened, as he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Anyway, I'd like to just open it if anybody has any thoughts or comments about that scripture or anything I've said. So, any corrections or anything of that nature?
Thank you, Brother Norman. I don't know if it's a command. I guess it is a command to be thankful. But if it has to be commanded, sometimes I wonder how thankful we are. And thankful for the lesson. Thankful for everyone here. I was looking through Colossians for some reason, because one of the verses in Colossians is, let the peace of God rule in your heart, and put on love, and be thankful. And I just skimmed through Colossians real quick. Thankfulness is mentioned 5 times in that little epistle, Colossians, to be thankful and thanksgiving. And of course, in the Jews in the wilderness, the big sin was ingratitude. They call it Book of Numbers. Numbers are 2 censuses, but it was really numbers of how many times they were we don't have the melons and the cucumbers, and Moses, you came us to die in the wilderness. And God was upset. It should be called the numbers of ingratitude, someone said. It's the numbers of not being thankful. And we're told, you know, be thankful for the indescribable gift. And one quick comment would be on remember Lot's wife. Young people, you're told to remember too. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So remember. And older people, we have to remember that too. The Lord be magnified.
Sometimes I'm afraid of sharing what I have in my mind, because I think everybody knows that. But take this as a confession. My mind is very limited, and so is my understanding. I try to imagine when a brother is reading the scripture, and especially I do that since my eyesight is so poor and I cannot follow the reading, I try to visualize, to make a picture, what's going on. 10 lepers stand afar from our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why? Well, that's the law. The law kept them away from the crowd that was around the Lord Jesus Christ, because the lepers didn't want to be stoned, which can happen. On the other hand, how can they transgress or do something against the law and at the same time seek mercy from Jesus, Master, Teacher? That's one question. The other question is, the Lord Jesus Christ said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Why? That's another requirement of the law. And there was also another side, because if we remember the story about the blind man that was born blind and the Lord Jesus healed him, and the Pharisees, scribes, lawyers, those that were opposing the mercy and grace and marvelous deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ, they tried to question this blind man and his parents. And why are they questioning so much? They're looking for some spot, some blemish, something that they could accuse the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell the, that they could tell the people, oh, he's doing those good deeds by the power of the evil spirit. Now in this case, the Lord said, go and show yourself to the priest. And the Lord said that to 10 lepers. One of the 10 cannot go to the priest. He's a Samaritan. He is not only the former leper. He is despised and rejected. And suddenly, the one that is not under the law, or that is not covered by the graces that are in the law, stops. He has nobody to go to. Who is going to be his priest? He turns back and he shows himself to the priest, to the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing thing. Until this moment I didn't think about that. But the Lord Jesus Christ said in another teaching, another moment, he said that the prostitutes, the publicans, the people that are so sinful will enter into the kingdom before those that imagine or try to persuade the others, we are the holy ones, we are the good ones, we fast, we give tithing of the small things. Of course, they will not say, we are the ones that forget mercy and grace and all the important things. And in this case, it's revealed again. The 9 lepers have another kind of leprosy. It's not only the lack of gratitude, maybe that's also included, but there is something else. What did they tell the priest? If they told him nothing but the truth and the whole truth, as some American courts of law demand, if the lepers told to the priest that Jesus of Nazareth told us to come and show to the priest, that priest would likely labor hard to find out some reason to question their healing. Not because the law is against the grace of God, but because the people that misused, twisted, and abused the law were not able to perceive, let alone accept, the grace of God. I'm afraid I wandered far away from what I wanted to share with you. And that's some kind of my privilege, forgetful. The Lord Jesus Christ said, remember what you hear. Let's not forget. Well, I do forget. And what Brother Norman was reading and sharing, I heard that so many times. And look at that, I'm talking to you and I already forgot some things. Well, forgive me my forgetfulness, and may the Lord be gracious and forgive also. And what I shared is, just as Brother Norman said, subject to your comments, corrections, whatever the Lord brings to your heart and mind. And as what is his brother Cain said, the Lord be magnified. Oh, may I add a few words, although I'm taking so much time. How can we magnify him who is so great that the entire universe cannot contain him? What do we do when? What do we mean? Magnifying the Lord. So maybe that's a prayer. May the Lord magnify my understanding of his grandeur, of his heavenly majesty. Thank you. Sorry for taking so much time.
Thank you, Brother Norman. You had some different thoughts here. See if I can get my scattered thoughts organized here. Yeah, I appreciate what you were saying. Why did they stand so far off or not come too close to Jesus, the ten? Yeah, I think that's a reasonable interpretation, is just the thought of how the law of Moses talks about how they're unclean, and, you know, if this man is, you know, a master or rabbi or something, depending on how each of them, obviously there was one that probably either later on came to a greater understanding and he returned back to Jesus, or even from the beginning maybe had a little more elevated understanding of who Jesus is. But still, even probably to their fellow Jews, they would probably know from the law of Moses to stand up. They don't want to defile those that don't have leprosy. So you know, they called far off. And then, yeah, that story is interesting. It's like as they go to the priests, if they had faith to obey, then they would be healed. And the text doesn't make clear, but I mean, well, it kind of does. It seems that all 10 of them were healed. It does say that. So that would imply that the other 9 even obeyed or believed what he said to go to the priests and to then find that, you know, they were healed, much like the man who had the, where Jesus in the Gospel of John spits on the dirt and makes clay, puts it on his eyes, go to the pool of Siloam, and he obeyed, and then he was healed. So at least they went that far. But then, yeah, apparently they didn't think, did they, without coming back to Jesus, praise God? But they didn't think Jesus was involved in that whole praising God thing. Because it's interesting, the one man, the way it says, is that he came back, he fell on his face, I think it says that, and he thanked Jesus. But then it also mentions that as he's approaching Jesus, before that even is stated, it says that he was praising God, he was shouting and praising God, and then he fell on his face and gave thanks to Jesus. That almost seems like that you could understand that to where that implies, that little statement implies that, you know, in his heart when he's praising God and he's praising Jesus, he's thanking Jesus, that the implication that, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say it, so you see what I'm trying to say, but that in his mind, that Jesus was Adonai, he was God, he was Yahweh. Yeah, that was one thought that I had. And then further down in the text, maybe I've mentioned this before, just remind you, I think it's verse 32, 33 in this chapter 17 of Luke. Actually, let me go back there. Yeah, verse 32, 33. Yeah, the New King James translates this word charis, which is most of the time And the New Testament translated as grace, although a lot of times it should be translated as gratitude or thanks. Here they translate it as credit, and I think it's because the translators don't know what to do with this, and so they translate it that way. I know the ESV translates it as, I just saw it, I can't even remember. Let me take a look here. Oh, not Luke 17, that's right, that was Luke 6 I was thinking. Yeah, 32 and 33. Sorry about that. So it says, if you love those who love you, the ESV translates, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Now, the New King James, I don't know the Old King James what it says, but they say credit. And so that's the word charis, which usually, like I said, is translated as grace, but sometimes they'll translate it as thanks or it's the idea of gratitude. That's what I really think that's the way it should be. If you love those who love you, what gratitude is that to you, or what gratitude do you have for sinners love those who love them, for even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what gratitude or what thanks is it that you have, for even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who you expect to receive back, what gratitude is that to you? In other words, what gratitude to God do you have, for even sinners lend to sinners and get the same back? And then further down in verse 36, it has the word where they kind of, in English we put either on, like undue or unimportant or non-important or whatever, and they put that on there, and it's the opposite. And then, of course, they do rightfully translate it as ungrateful. Said, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So that's the context. So similarly with chapter 17, with these, there was one that was grateful when he came back, and then the other ones apparently weren't, of these that were healed. But it is interesting. Let's see, I'm trying to see here. Yeah, so further up in the text where Norm was reading, and it's this whole thing of where Jesus is saying there will be many temptations to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. That whole thing. And then when they say increase our faith or increase our trust in God, increase our belief, and then I think we've talked about this before. I think I've made this statement before, and I think many people already would have this opinion. The inseparable connection is they're like yoke fellow between the idea of faith or trust and obedience. And when you say increase our faith, because the context is clear, it's like, Lord, you're asking me to do something that, wow, it comes back in one day, and he sins against me, and it comes back, he repents, he sins seven times in one day, and I have to do this? I don't know if I can do that. It seems like the implication is increase our obedience. Help us to obey. Is really what it seems like is implied there by saying increase our faith. So anyway, that was one thought I had as well. So I guess that was it.
Amen.